Okay, great. Like Lazelle mentioned, half our church is in Stellenbosch at the moment. They're attending our annual Shofar conference. I believe it's awesome down there, but we're going to have an awesome morning this side. She also mentioned our pastor and his wife is also there. So I'm not a full-time pastor yet. So if you're visiting, please have some grace and mercy on me. And don't judge our church on my sermon this morning. But we're going to have some fun. This morning I just want to speak to us about being confident in the Lord. I felt the Lord saying to me when I prayed about this morning that we need to be confident in Him. Because He's always there with us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He tells us in His Word. So we need to be confident in Him. So we're going to look at some testimonies out of my own life where I can testify of His goodness and why we can be confident in Jesus. And also then we're going to look at in David's life, because David, God said about David, he's a man close to his heart. So we can take some life lessons from David as well. But before we start, let's look at the definition of confident. It says in the dictionary, it says it means certain, convinced, hopeful, positive, sure, and trusting. That is what confident means. So just in my own life, about confidence, some of you might know I'm quite a keen sportsman, I'm quite a keen golfer. Now, I started out golf about 4 years ago. I joined the club, and I'm keen, I'm ready to go. And I go out there, and I play, and I shot over 100 shots in the first round. And now I'm down, and I'm broken, and all negative. And my friend who's helping me with the golf says, "No, man, don't worry. Before you know it, you'll be breaking 90. You must be crazy. I haven't broken 100. How must I break 90? Anyway, so then we played and played, and eventually I broke 90 for the first time. That means I've played less shots than 90, for those that don't know the golf terms. And all of a sudden, I started believing, but it's not so difficult to break 90. So all of a sudden, I was positive about my golf, and I can do this. Then I broke 80 for the first time. And I'm like, come on, this is not so difficult. And I go there now confidently to go and break 80. If I don't break 80 now, I'm disappointed. And this is how I grew in confidence in my golf. And just because of doing it once, I knew then it's possible for me to do it again. And for me, that I can put it back to my faith with in Jesus and my walk with Christ. That every time He comes through for me in some area, and I'll share about some just now, I just know that He'll come through for us again. Because that He's faithful. He's a God who does not change. He's all for us. He's our Father in heaven. So that's what confidence means to me. Let's say what Jesus Himself says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and 7. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. The Lord Himself speaks here, and He says to us, cursed is the one who trusts in flesh and other human beings around you, but blessed is the one who trusts in me and who finds his confidence in me. And this morning, my prayer is for all of us to walk out here being confident in the Lord, because He is good. So if you're going through a tough time at the moment, or you've been through a tough time, or you're worried about tough times to come, I really trust this morning the Lord will speak to your heart, that you'll walk out here this morning confident in God, to face whatever battle is out there. I'm sure all of us want to be blessed. And it says here, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Now, I want to speak about David. I think he's a great example to all of us about being confident in the Lord. Just some background on David. David was the son of Jesse. He was the youngest of 8 sons. And he was the one looking after his father's sheep out there in the field. And he was eventually anointed as king by God. So what happened here, the Lord told Samuel he must go and go to Jesse. One of Jesse's sons is the new king of Israel. He must go and anoint the king. So he goes to Jesse, and Jesse gets 7 of his sons together. And let's just read together in 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 and 11. Jesse had 7 of his sons passed before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Look at the father's reply. Now, this is now confidence from the father. He said, "They are still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is attending the sheep." So to me, this is like Jesse called 7 of his 8 sons. He didn't even think of David there in the field, the youngest one. He was looking after his sheep. He brought the other seven to before Samuel and said, Samuel, pick the king. But then Samuel told him, no. None of these are the king. Do you have any other sons? And the father, I think I can picture him being a bit hesitant because you can see there's a but there. He says, they're still the youngest, but he's attending the sheep. You know, he won't be the king, so let's move on. And let's continue. Eventually, David came and he was anointed by Samuel. He was the chosen one by God. So after that, three of his brothers went to fight in the battle in the army of the Israelites. And David's father sent him to go to his brothers in the battlefield, take him some food. Now this picture of Jesse calling the other seven sons and then David not being there and then he being picked last reminded me of when you play touch rugby when you're small, all the boys get together and then there's two captains, always two captains, and they can pick their sides. So then the one will go, I said, okay, I'll pick you, and the other one will go, I'll take you, and you stand there and you're like, pick me, you know, and nothing happens, and like, come on. And you see all the little chubby guys here next to you, and you're like, And eventually the captain will pick you, and you say, oh, thank goodness I'm picked. I feel special, I feel important, I feel good. And I think maybe David felt the same when he was brought there last, after all his seven brothers were already there, standing there. Okay, so David's off to the battlefield. He's taking his brothers some food, because they need it in the battle. And I'm sure most of you have heard about David and Goliath. We're going to speak about that this morning a little bit more. So yeah, David arrives at the battlefield. He has this giant, over 9 feet tall, massive guy. I assume a little bit like Bismarck Duplessis kind of look. And he's just cursing the Israelites, and he's just bad-mouthing them and cursing God. And all the Israelites are there standing there shaking, terrified of this giant. And he's just challenging them, come and fight me, one of you. You beat me, and you can have my army. I beat you, I'll take your army. That kind of thing, intimidating them. And they're all terrified. So David rocks up there with his packet of KFC or whatever he took them. And he sees this situation playing out there in front of him. So he asked around, but what's happening? Who's this guy? How can he curse God? And who is he? And then some people told him, this is Goliath. Don't go there. So then his brother, the oldest brother, Eliab, in 1 Samuel 17:28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. So here's Obed, not happy at all that he was not the king. Little David was anointed king. He rocks up at the battle and he's inquiring about who's this guy. He wants to take him on. So his brother cursed him there. He's like, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be there in a field with a few sheep? You know, like, you're nobody. You're not supposed to be at the battle. You just came down here to watch it, you know, for your own pleasure. But, he was just jealous and angry with David. So that didn't impact David at all. David then decided he's going to go speak to Saul, the king of this Israelite army who's so terrified. So then look at this confidence from this young man. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Confidently, eh? He steps up to the plate. He says, I'll go and take this guy down. But now look at Saul. The king says to him, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So what happened here? This young man comes to the king. He says, listen, I'll go take him out. Don't worry. Bismarck is here. So the king says, no, you can't go and fight him. You're still a boy. You have never fought in an army. This guy's an experienced warrior. He's massive. He'll take you out. And then David drew confidence from the Lord. He told Saul, yeah, listen, I've killed a lion and I've killed a bear. This guy will not take me down. And I read through this and I thought, yo, this guy's, you know, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. You know, and I thought for a moment, David is almost trying to step over to being a little bit full of himself. And then I read this part here where he tells Saul, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. So David wasn't confident in himself only. He was confident in the Lord. He said, he helped me with the bear and the lion. God will help me with this Philistine. So he drew all of his confidence from Jesus, and he was confident in the Lord. That's what I want us to be this morning, confident in Jesus. Now it continues. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Confident, he's coming at David, intimidating him flat out. David, as calm as a cucumber, says to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Again, David is confident in the Lord. He tells Goliath, you come at me with your spear and your javelin. All I've got is the Lord, but that's enough. He continues and he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Confidently telling the giant, today I will kill you because the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I must understand, there's a bit of a revelation to me when I was preparing for this, that David, as you might know or might not know, David did a lot of wrong things in his life. He did a lot of wrong things being a king. He sinned against God. And God knew all of this. I mean, before he anointed him as king, God knew, because God is almighty. He knows everything. God knew that David will still sin against him. But he loved him enough to save him from a bear, to save him from a lion, to save him from Goliath. And he feels exactly the same about you and me. David is not more special to God than what you and I am to God. He loves us the same. He died for us on the cross. Because on one afternoon only, David broke 5 out of the 10 commandments. When he coveted his neighbor's wife, he bared false witness against this lady's husband. He stole the wife, Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her. And then he arranged the murder of the husband. That's massive. That's, in our eyes, you know, that's big sin that David committed here, all at the same time. But even that could not stop God from carrying through the battle, carrying through the difficult times, and saving him, because God loves him that much. And he feels exactly the same about you and me. So you must never believe a lie when you go through a tough time to feel that you are inferior and that you don't deserve God. You don't deserve to be carried through this difficult time because of what you've done yesterday, or if you sinned last week, or you went out partying last week and you were drunk. You can't get saved from this tough time that you're in because God's far away from you. That's a lie. God can save David with all his past and all his sins. He will save us as well. Okay, let's look at David. Let's just look at the whole situation a bit more in depth. 3 times in that passage, in that part of the battle, David could have been intimidated completely. The first one was when his oldest brother, Eliab, asked him, what are you doing here? You should go to the sheep, get away from here, you don't belong here. He could have been, yes, you're right, I don't belong here, I'm scared, I'm going back home. He didn't. Then he comes to Saul. Saul tells him, you're only more than a boy. This guy's experienced warrior. He will take you down. You can't fight him. Again, David had all the right to say, you're right, I've lost my mind for a second. I'll go home and go look after the sheep again. But he wasn't. He was confident in the Lord. He said, no ways, I'll take him. And the third time, when he faced Goliath face to face, and he told him, you know, I will kill you today. You're a little boy. Look at you, handsome and young. What are you doing here? But again, David was not intimidated by any of those three things. He went on, killed the giant, overcame the battle, gave God the glory, and case closed. But unfortunately, myself, and I'm sure some of us here this morning are not like David always. We get intimidated easily by circumstances, what people think of us. Maybe your parents never told you when you were growing up that you are amazing and you are good and you are good enough for them. Maybe your work colleagues don't tell you you're a good person or whatever it might be. And you start feeling intimidated. So when a battle comes, when a tough time comes, you're so intimidated about what people told you about yourself and what past experiences have happened in your life that you back off. You don't face it front on like David faced Goliath here. We don't have the confidence in the Lord because we're intimidated by people and circumstances. And I think David is an amazing example of how not to be intimidated. Three times, and the whole situation was just intimidating as it is, but he went on and he faced him face to face and he killed him. Now, why was David so confident? I asked myself, why was he so confident that he could just do this and kill Goliath without any battle gear on, just a slingshot and five stones? And I realized, but David had a relationship with God. Out in the field looking after the sheep, he probably spoke to the Lord all day long, prayed to God. He had a relationship with him. He knew who God was. There was no doubt in his mind that God will deliver him from Goliath, or the lion or the bear for that instance. He had a relationship with him. He knew who he was. He also knew who he was in God. He knew that God can save him. That David himself, he is good enough in God's eyes. That God will save him in any situation. He didn't doubt that or feel guilty about past sin or something he committed a few days ago or months ago or weeks ago. He knew, God loves me. God will save me. I know who God is, and that's enough. Also, David, from the past experiences, killing a lion and killing a bear, that gave him a lot of confidence for Goliath. And he even told Saul about that. So he obviously drew confidence from what happened in the past. Now, from my own life, I'd like to share with you a few things about where I got confidence in the Lord as well from what he did for us in my life. And the first one is about 4 or 5 years ago. My parents, I've told the story before a while ago, my parents moved down from the Northern Cape to the Free State. My father got a new job. Everything looked promising, and the new boss gave him a lot of nice promises, and all those things looked rosy. And all of a sudden, after a month or two or three, just fired my dad without any reason, without any warning, without any letters, completely against any CCMA or any labor law. Then my dad was unemployed, my mom unemployed, and sitting in the Free State without any income or any possibilities. My dad was that back then, about 55 years old. So they moved down here to be with us. And I looked for my dad for work all over the show, in the Daily Dispatch every day, on the websites every day. Went to people, complete strangers, asking them for any work for my dad. And nothing really came up. And in this time, I'm now, you know, worrying and I'm doubting. I just got married to Lizelle, and it's just a tough time for my family. In the middle of this, and I was like, what's happening here? Lord, where are you? And in this time, my mom and dad, the whole time, they were so positive. They told us, don't worry, the Lord will provide. The Lord will come through. And I'm thinking, yes, he's taking his time. And they're so confident. And I'm like, Lord, please, you can see their faith, you know, just come through for them. And he did. He gave my dad his old job back in the Northern Cape. They moved back there. They're happy there. They're back there now. Everything's going fine. And that's just amazing how God came through for them. And the confidence they had in Jesus to come through for them blessed me so much that I'll take from that confidence. I know that God is good and that he will come through for us. My wife has her own practice. And obviously she's dependent on the number of patients that she sees during a month. And sometimes at the end of the month, things are not looking great financially. And then she's freaking out a little bit. And then we just pray and I tell her, you know what, the Lord has never disappointed us. He has never dropped us. There's no reason why not to trust him. He's always come through for us. And he will come through for us again. And time again, he comes through for us. We have never lacked anything the last year and a half, this has had our own practice. We have never come short because God is good. And I can draw confidence every month from when He comes through the last minute and payments come through or whatever it might be. And I'm thinking, Lord, You are so good. How can I still doubt You? And the last one is a more personal note that some of you might know. We had an early miscarriage last year, November. And then we fell pregnant again. And within the first 3 months of the pregnancy, things were rough. We had scares of miscarriages. It was really tough. And the one night, so much so that I was driving Lizelle to the hospital. She's lying in the back seat. She's crying of pain. And I'm sitting in Ultra Sky traffic at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm just praying my heart out because I know that nothing that I can do besides praying can help my wife and can save this baby and can just be with us. So I prayed all the way down like never before. And she stayed there one night in the hospital. And as you saw this morning, she's pretty much still very pregnant. 6 weeks' time, our baby will be born. And praise the Lord. It's just another amazing testimony in my life of how God came through for us. Every time we had a scare, I just said to her, you know what? The Lord has been with us all the time. He will be with us again. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not get anxious. Just trust the Lord. Let us be confident in the Lord. And maybe some of you are going through similar things. Maybe you've been through things like that, and your confidence is a bit shaky at the moment. And I want to encourage you this morning, be confident in the Lord, because He loves you, He cares for you, and He wants you to come through those battles like we did and like David did. And that's why we need to be confident in Him. Also a bit of David's character. He was not offended when he was picked last to be king. He was a humble man. He didn't boast in himself killing the lion and the bear and not mention God at all. It wasn't all about David and how good he is. He said, the Lord delivered me. He was a humble man. He knew where his faith, he knew where his strength came from. And we must be the same. When we get a promotion at work, we mustn't boast in ourselves and think, yes, I'm so amazing. You know, the Lord's the one that provides. He also had faith, a lot of faith. You know, he's a man who trusted God, and he was confident in God. I mean, in this battle, this giant is facing him, and he tells him in his face, I will kill you today. The Lord will deliver you into my hands. And that's, for me, such an example of confidence in the situation. And in our situation as well, when Zal had maybe pain or something, I would speak to him and I said, we will not have a miscarriage in the name of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do the same when you face a battle. If it's an exam and you're stressed about it, you tell that exam beforehand that the Lord will help me through this exam. You will not get to me fearful or doubting. If you're facing a financial difficulty, you tell your finances it will be right in the name of Jesus. The Lord will provide. Like David faced the giant and he spoke to him in that situation. Because you see, the price is paid. He has died on the cross. We are forgiven. He's given us victory. He says we are more than conquerors. We are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. So we are winning. It's good news. We are not losing. So you can face the battles confidently, knowing that God will be with you always. Now if we look at David, he wrote a lot of psalms, a lot of them. And I'm going to specifically look at Psalm 23. We all know the psalm. And I just realized again, because of what the Lord did for David in his lifetime, He saved him from a lot of things. He's been with him. He forgave him from his sins. He could write a psalm like Psalm 23 because he knew what God did. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David himself went through a few dark valleys where he faced death. I'm sure that bear and that lion, and with Goliath, he knew in his heart that, you know, it's touch and go here. If the Lord does not come through for him, he will not see tomorrow. And that's why he could write this psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will fear no evil, even though I go through a difficult time. He'll be with me. He says, surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. So this morning I want to write my own Psalm 23. I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though we might have scares of miscarriage, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I want to encourage you as well this morning, whatever you might be facing or whatever the Lord has done for you, go at home this afternoon, some homework, go sit and think about the things God has done for you, where you've come through a tough time and he's helped you through that. Write your own Psalm 23. Declare that you will not fear any evil. School, exams, studies, finances, divorce, whatever you might be facing, God is bigger than that. God is bigger than that, and he wants to deliver you like he delivered David in this difficult time. Amen. Let us ask that we can just stand, please, and let's pray together. Father God, this morning, Lord, I'm thankful for your goodness, Father God. I'm thankful for who you are, Lord. Lord, thank you that you save us time and time again from our difficult times, Lord, through our battles, through our hardships, Father God. Lord, I pray this morning, Father God, for everyone here and anyone here, Father God, who might be facing a Goliath at this moment. Father, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us in a new way, Father God. Lord, I pray that anyone here, Lord, who's in doubt this morning, Father God, whose confidence in you is low, Lord, for whatever reason it might be, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will fill us up with confidence in you, Father God, like never before. Lord, maybe be like David to face our battles face to face, Father God, and declare victory before we even start the battle, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you will just deliver us from the evil every day in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that you are with us always, Father God. Thank you, Father, that you are our shepherd. And with you, we don't have to fear any evil, Father God. So this morning, I pray, Lord, that everyone will just open up their hearts to you, Lord. They will speak to you, Father God, and just come to a place where they can trust you completely like David did, Father God. Help us, Lord, to be confident in you daily, Father God, whatever we might be facing. Give us strength, Father God. I pray a blessing upon everyone here this morning. Lord, be with us in this week, Father God. May we face our battles front on, Lord. And just be confident in you, Jesus, because you are a faithful God. We thank you this morning for your goodness, for your grace, and for your love. In the name of Jesus, amen.